Do you ever wonder how many surprised donkeys there were that night in Bethlehem? I do. I mean, I know that Bethlehem wasn't that large of a town, but it's not like the shepherds in Luke's gospel had the advantage of a wild star that the Magi in Matthew's gospel did. And I know that they must have been doing their best, but it's my guess that as they went from animal stall to animal stall in the dark of night, all so that they could find this child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger, they might have wondered. I mean, can you imagine what it was like? There's these shepherds. They're with their sheep. It's night. They're out in the fields. And then after a blinding light, after an incredible pronouncement, after singing from the heavens, when all that was done, they were left with cold night air and darkness and the beating of their own hearts. Then what next? I mean, I can only imagine that it must have been exhilarating and absolutely terrifying. And still somehow, these shepherds, they hiked into town and made their way from stall to stall before they finally reached the one with the family in the midst of the animals. And there they stood, amazed that what had been shouted from the heavens was to be found here on earth. And so it is. Each year, they lead us to this holy night, this epiphanal moment, this manifestation of God as a human in the form of a vulnerable child. Each year, these shepherds bring us close. You may or may not recognize this image, but it's a window of stained and painted glass that now resides in our chapel downstairs here at All Souls. In the previous incarnation of the space we gather in this night, this window, that window, was in our choir loft, as noted in this image here. This is the front page of the Berkeley Gazette on Christmas Day, 1942. Now, after the church, this space here, was rebuilt in the 1950s, the window was moved downstairs to what is now known as the Chapel of the Nativity. And over the decades, multitudes of people have seen it and have used it to enter into tonight's story. And in time, this window became a story of its own. When I arrived at All Souls, and I read the inscription at the bottom of the window, it reads, "To the glory of God, in loving memory of Robert Pruin Lansing, 1914 to 1922, I was moved to know that through the actions of his parents, the life of this child, Robert Lansing, is being remembered even now, a century after his birth." You see, in late 1921, Robert contracted streptococcal meningitis, and the infection took his life at the start of January in 1922, when he was 7 years old. And within a few years, his parents, Gertrude and Horace, gave this window to the people of All Souls Parish in memory of his life. So several years after I arrived at All Souls, I heard an additional story about Robert and this window. I was told that, as you will find with many pieces of art, that Robert and his mother were placed in this scene, right here, as the shepherd boy and the shepherdess. And this brought the scene to life in a new way for me. It's as if being placed here, Robert and Gertrude are also present on this holy night, then and now. Encountering this scene was even more moving, to see Robert and his mother Gertrude gazing into the manger with the shepherds, wondering at this Christ child, this long-awaited Messiah, bringing light into a world of deep darkness. And then, earlier this year, a most remarkable sequence of events came about. One of our parishioners, Lynn Turner, was also moved by this window, and so she decided to do some more research into it. And what she found was startling. It turns out that our window was fashioned after a very popular painting of the late 19th and early 20th century, The Nativity by Carl Mueller. Mueller was one of the Nazarenes, artists who focused their attentions especially on Christian stories. And this painting was seen as one of his finest efforts. Now, here is a black and white image of this painting. And there's one aspect of it that I'd like to draw your attention to. Just to the right of the Christ child, there's a young boy and a young shepherdess. Already there in the scene, decades before Robert's birth. So it seems that the story that has been passed down over the years of a young Robert and his mother Gertrude being placed into this stained glass window is not actually how it came to be. The boy and the shepherdess were there all along. So then, does this mean that it isn't true? As for me, at first I'll admit, when I found this out, I felt some real disappointment. There was something about seeing Robert and Gertrude there that made what is a well-known and well-worn story come to life in a new way. But then as I considered it more, I came to realize that while it may not have happened in the way that the story has been told, there still is great truth to be found. Because this placing ourselves into the story is actually an act of faith that Christians have been making, stretching as far back as the story has been told. Over centuries and across cultures, we have entered into this scene through art to express our wonder, to deepen our faith. Now, my sense is that it's probably hard for us in this country to see this story anew because we've encountered it so thoroughly through European eyes, right? Because most often when we see this scene, it's with that lens of painters who were drawing from German or Italian or Dutch cultural landscapes, right? This is familiar. They did this. We do this, I believe, in order to come close to the mystery, to be present in this moment, to attempt to make space within us for the holy to be born in us. When I say we, I mean we in this broad sense, because the reason why folks from all over this world have created art about this scene is because they too have wanted to see Jesus as the Christ, the Savior of their people. And so here are but just a few images of different peoples from around the world, from China, Cameroon, to the Crow of America, from Guatemala, Nicaragua, the Aborigines of Australia, from Thailand and Tibet, from Iran and the Yoruba of Nigeria, all depicting this scene, placing themselves here on this holy night. Now you may remember that we've told this story of Emperor Augustus and of Mary and Joseph and of the child and of the shepherds and the angel. We've told the story before, using these exact same words. In fact, we tell this same story year after year. We sing many of the same hymns and carols. Some preachers actually preach the same sermon each Christmas Eve. I'm not joking, I'm just jealous. And perhaps because of this repetition, there are those who say, I've already heard the story. I even know how it ends. And this may be true. But the reason why we tell this story year after year after year isn't so much that we don't know it. It's that in the push and pull of our daily existence, we forget it. We forget that one of the foundational truths of being human is that God is with us. The oneness that has created all that is has not left us, will never leave us to fend for ourselves alone. God has and God will enter into the darkness. Will be present in the tension, will make a dwelling place in this world and in our very being if we but allow. As we at All Souls have prepared for this mystery of this night and this season of Christmas, we've been singing a chant, the chant we heard just around our gospel. If in your heart you make a manger for his birth, then God will once again become a child on earth. This is the part of the mystery that we so often miss when we get tangled up with finding the most perfect gifts, or planning the most amazing feasts, or having the most wonderful time of the year. Honestly, it's my sense that for many of us, at what is this most sacred and set apart time, we stay on the outside, on the periphery of this manger scene. Often, we are reluctant to enter in, to place ourselves with that weary family, gazing at a child who is an incarnation of the divine. And so what do? Well, we create warmer, fuzzier stories about a man from the North Pole, or we extol the virtues of trees and tinsel. Now, there is nothing wrong with a crackling fire when it's snowing outside. It's just that those scenes and those stories don't usually open our hearts to those who are without shelter this night, or those who are being denied their dignity, or those who are yearning, who are lonely, who are wanting companionship. It's not that those other stories are awful. It's just that they aren't filled with awe. And when we tell them, we don't change. And that's what this night is about. It's about following the witness of these shepherds, coming close to this story, close enough that we actually find ourselves in it, entering into this story just as we are. Not as we feel we should be, or as we hoped we might be, or as we once were. Just as we are. And when we do this, when we ready ourselves to encounter this love divine, we open our hearts to live from this stance of love. And this is why we're here, tonight, right now, and in this life. To remember that God was made present in this world, that we would know that love is the very heartbeat of the cosmos, made manifest in this most vulnerable, wondrous way. And then, as we walk out these doors, as we walk into this holy night, we are to live all of our lives, from the start of each day to our last drawn breath, as witnesses to this, the glorious impossible.